at Ginger and Raceway for West Michigan Honda Meet. We just had a good Friday. That was fun. A quality Friday, I mean. Not the day before Easter weekend. Abe drove his Mugen SI up here.
Yep.
It's alive.
Yep.
Did you take it on track today or no?
I did not.
Tacos in the air.
Tacos in the air. Do I owe $1? How much do I owe you? All right, I'll give you $5 later then. Flying Tacos
this
at the podcast.
This show is not sponsored by Taco Bell.
It's not.
But it could be.
We have Brad from Tire Rack.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Ryan. I mean, Brad, how's your day?
You can call me whatever. I mean, I want everyone to know me through the community as Brad from Tire Rack.
Brad from Tire Rack.
That's my job.
Yeah.
But otherwise, Ryan is the appropriate name.
Ryan Finch has driven with us a few times. How'd that first one go?
So, yeah, the first one, for anyone who doesn't know the famous white Fiesta lawn dart, as I call it, at Mid-Ohio.
Dude, it was like the so, tell a story. Tell a story. I'll commentate afterwards.
The long story short of it, it was day two of Mid-Ohio Grid Life 2017. I was in the HPD front-wheel drive at the time before they went to street. I was currently winning and already had the class record at the time. And I decided, let's go through turn one trying to use almost no brakes at Mid-Ohio. And, well,
track was hot. It was dry.
Yep.
But the grass was a little wet.
The grass was a little soggy still. So
it's a Fiesta ST.
Fiesta ST, which are known for two-wheeling on flat concrete.
At autocrosses,
where the standard Fiesta has been banned from autocross in general. So, yeah, the ST.
You can't run one in the autocross?
No, not a standard one. Nope, not a standard Fiesta.
What can you do to actual? Can you like widen it or something?
So you gotta like they won't even allow it until you lower it in some other modifications because the center of gravity is so bad.
It's just wrong.
Huh? Yeah,
that's crazy. All right, so turn one at Mid-Ohio. You're like, I got this. So how'd you do?
Yeah. So long story short, of course, I shot off of turn one. Hit the grass, it dug in.
The car wash out, out towards the curb.
Yeah, it washed out, jumped over. And I thought that it wasn't going to be so bad, so I actually rode it out on purpose.
Right.
I could have obviously lifted and played safe, but, you know, that car doesn't have that much power, and that straightaway, I got to keep all that momentum.
We got hero laps going on, so, like, when it's hero lap time, it's hero lap time.
Yeah, and for people who don't know me, I like to push at 11 tenths, so yeah.
All the way out in one. So you're into the grass. Did you get sideways?
I definitely got sideways.
Yeah? How'd that go for you?
Sideways, I remember looking out the passenger side of my vehicle and just seeing all green.
Yeah.
Yeah, just all green. And then
two wheels up on the side.
Yep, just all green, and then eventually, oh, we stopped. That hurt.
So you rolled over.
Yes.
It's the only rollover we ever had.
That's true.
Did it land back on its wheels?
It did land on its wheels.
Did you drive off?
No, I did not because they made me get back in the ambulance to get checked out appropriately.
So you stopped and they were like, red flag the session.
Like, red flag. I had to yell at the, whoever, it's not OnStar and Fords, but whoever it was trying to tell me they're sending the police and medical attention. I said, I'm fine. I'm on a track. Don't send it. Thank you.
That's crazy.
So I got
literally going to send the ambulance to you?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, no, they're right here. Right?
Like, no, we're good. I'm about to go in it. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
It's cool. Ever heard of Mid-Ohio?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm on a racetrack.
I remember walking over. I'm like, what the heck is the red flag for? I'm looking around, and I wasn't on the Corner Worker channel, and then they went silent because they're doing stuff, I was on the channel with, the track lead at the time. I wasn't listening in, so I didn't hear the actual call for it. And I walk over. I'm like, I don't even – what happened? Like, your car looked pretty good from, 200 feet away.
It did look pretty good, actually. The front bumper was a little messed up. It was still sitting on all four.
Right.
It was like...
Yeah, it looked like a square car still.
Not joking, after everything was said and done, I did drive it into a trailer and drive it out of a trailer later that day. So, but, it's still hibernating, as I call it. Right. It's sitting in a garage in Michigan,
hiding
away.
Is the chassis square still?
The chassis appeared to be still... good enough to put good a cage enough. In it in the future. Right. It's one of those things that I'm still, originally I was going to go rally with it.
Right.
Because Fiestas are known for being actually pretty decent rally cars when you're not flipping them.
There's no mud that you can go sideways in a rally track course. Right?
Ever. And now I'm more thinking, maybe it'd be a future GLTC car because what more you know, perfect way of a car that died at Grid Life to come back resurrected for wheel to wheel battling.
Let's lower it and widen it a little bit, though. How about
of
that?
Of course. We're going to get some, we're definitely lowering it. We're definitely going to chop some fenders and make some lower offset tires.
You need to get some 240Z fender flares and rivet them things on.
Whatever needs to be done. But it's definitely going to be a lower center of gravity.
So, yeah, so how, yeah, let's chop that thing off and put an LS in the front. It's going to be rad, man.
LS swap everything.
It's totally going to fit. They're tiny motors, right? So you were, like, paying for it. You're still paying for it?
Still paying for it.
Oh, that sucks so bad. AB's making payments.
I'm still making payments.
0%,
it
right?
is a 0% interest
loan.
Well,
that's fine. Free money.
And I'm purposely not rushing it, so.
In the meantime, you do all kinds of autocross, motorsports, track
days. You're pretty good, right?
I'm decent. I have not won a national championship, so I'm not one of those guys.
Have you gotten trophies?
Oh, yeah, definitely got some trophies.
What classes have you ran in at Solo Nationals?
Well, E Street prepared when I had a Camaro on Hoosiers. That was pretty good. I actually had a lot of fun in that car. I've ran a C5 Corvette and STU, GT500 and Cam C, on BFGs. This last year, I ran a stock turbo Camaro, beat a few people on the dry day, and the wet was not so good.
What kind of GT500?
It was a 2011.
The crazy, super snake thing or whatever?
No, it was a 5.4, dual brake cam supercharger, made about 550 to the wheels, still had the solid axle.
Terminator motor, whatever they call it?
No, Terminator's the 03s.
Okay, I don't know anything about that.
Anyways, this is the one after that. And we were running 335 Rival S's square front and rear. And surprisingly, I got second at Nationals with it. Day one,
really?
I was running on corded tires, we found out, so I didn't do so hot day one, but day two, I got top time, so I got second overall.
That's rad, man.
Yeah.
So you mainly do co-drives with people, or?
Mainly, yes, I am a co-driver.
How do you find that, like, jumping between different cars, different kinds of cars, all that kind of stuff? Like, how does that work out for you? Some people, they don't do well with that. Some people really do.
Obviously, it's not to mention I change drivetrains, not just cars in general of different setups. I think I adapt well to cars more than most. I've found out I'm not very good at setups though because I'm used to driving around issues.
Right.
I'm
the same way. I'm like, it feels good.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
fine.
Not the best setup guy, but I'm used to jumping in and just going. It's worked really well for me. I've probably co-driven over 50 cars in the last 8 years of autocross.
Holy smokes.
And I've lost to like four of the owners and are going to beat the rest of them.
That's pretty good. Before we're on the show, Abe was talking about how you're going to do, what's that event called with Brett? You're driving with Brad Yonkers?
Yeah, so Yonkers and I will be doing as a King of the Mountain.
What is that event?
UMI Performance, their suspension, like F-bodies and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's how I met them through Optima, driving my Camaro back in the day.
Right.
But they put on an invitational event for autocrossers. It's a 100-person invite only. Winner take all. First place wins $10,000 prize cash.
Rad.
If you win without the Viper ACR Kumos, you get an extra $2,000 thrown on top.
Really?
Yeah, because
they know that's a cheater tire.
It's pretty much banned everywhere.
Ringer tire.
So
that's a 200 tread wear tire.
It's 200 tread wear,
and it's not 200.
But it's only 600 or 6/32nd.
It's just pretty much like a shave-ish.
It's an air quoted 200.
It's very fast tire though. We've seen it be very fast in Time Attack. We've seen it on Civics. Obviously, we've seen it at Vipers.
And they wear extremely fast, too.
Yeah, they're like Hoosier A7 wear levels. But
Brad and I have discussed getting some 19s and using them.
Yeah?
295 square
on
it.
They normally run the car, what, an 18s? Do you know?
They do. 18s on 285 RE71Rs, typically.
So are both of you guys driving that, or is it like car invitational or driver invitational?
We are actually both driving it. Okay. So Brad actually reached out to me and said, hey, do you know anything about this? I'm like, yeah, I know a little here and there. He goes, think we can get in? Or do you think you know anyone to talk to you? I'm like, yes, I know some people that talk to you at UMI. So I asked him, like, is this only like a pony car, like a pro touring type event? Do you mind like if you got a BMW in the situation? And he goes, oh, I didn't think you were still really into autocross and that. I'm like, well, what do you mean?
That's literally all I do.
He's like, well, you don't have your own car anymore. You sold it and stuff. I'm like, yeah. But, like, I drive other people's cars still.
All the
time. Is that something that can still do? And they're you two are in.
That's so rad. That's
we're
rad.
In.
So you're both driving the same car, which might help for setup on the course and all that stuff. And Brad seems like he's pretty fair at setting the car up.
Yeah, Brad has definitely done a lot of to that car over the last few years.
And he's also autocrossed it, not just his Time Attack car.
He's autocrossed it. We autocrossed it this last weekend. I got the fast time of the day with it. He got fourth fastest time of the day.
Nice.
So he's definitely, still working on trying to catch me at the autocross.
Now, with SCCA, what class does that car sit as it's configured?
Also street mod.
Yeah. Okay.
So street mod is another class.
E46, for listeners, is E46 BMW with a big supercharger kit.
Mm-hmm.
MCS three ways or something like that. Two ways.
Two ways. Yep.
Two ways for street mod. Yeah. What do they normally run it on in tire wise? They run an RE71s.
285 RE71Rs. Yep.
They didn't take it on one lap. They took Matt DeRusse's car.
Yep. Yeah.
They normally Matt DeRusse and Brad Yonkers have been co-driving for a few years while Matt builds his monster V8 E46 out of the one lap car.
Speaking of V8. Swapped E46s. Did you see Andy Smedgaard was on the dyno with...
That thing's running?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's with Pete Collins' car?
Yep.
It's going to be a wild car.
It's an LS7.
The aero that they have built on that thing, like, they took it down to, Binge Tokyo a few years ago or last year?
And he runs crazy fast times.
It's got, wild unlimited style aero, and it's got, 250 horsepower. It had.
So fast.
Yeah. It's got to be fun to drive a car like that, like a mid-power, normal car with, freaking... Will All Young and Houghton arrow? do you have to slow down at all?
No, they barely touch the brakes.
That's got to be fun.
It's an on-off switch throttle, right?
That literally has to be fun. Just go to braking marker one. It's got to be so fun.
Wow.
Especially if you're
Hoosiers
or whatever.
I don't know if you watch any of Andy's videos or Pete's videos.
I haven't seen any videos with the arrow. The last time I saw that car was at Track Day Picnic last year, and it had some mild stuff.
At that time, the car was amazing.
They just put a OS Kicking in it at that time.
No, it was
ATS Carbon.
ATS Carbon. Yeah. And I rode it with Pete, and we were running 117s.
Yeah, it was
really fast.
I think Pete was, or that car, I don't know who was all driving, but it was top one or two, three in standing start autocross for the event. So
yeah.
So when is that King of the Mountain event?
So it's actually, if I remember correctly, the end of next month.
Okay.
I'm still trying to remember if it's middle or end. Either way,
next month is Road Atlanta.
Okay.
Yep. I will not be making Road Atlanta.
Brad Ryan here starts showing up at our grid life. Maybe we had Autobahn the other day. We're like,
yep, just hanging out.
Oh, hi. How you doing? Eating pizza, drinking beers.
He's just trying to sell tires.
Yeah, he's just trying to sell tires. Handing out business cards.
Surprise.
If you ever need anything.
Hey, if you ever need any tires.
I know a guy that
wheels.
Slings that rubbers, baby.
Hey, it worked out perfectly for today, like I was telling you a little bit ago. As I was arriving, James was telling me that someone corded some RS4s and he needed some new tires because, he bought the whole weekend pass and he's already done for the weekend. So I have two RS4s and some RPF1s from an FRS in my Mustang right now, which I'll be taking to work with me tomorrow, and coming back with fresh RS4s for him.
Oh, that's so nice.
So you salvaged his Sunday or whatever, huh?
Yeah.
That's rad. That's good.
So that'll work out good for him. Back to Yonkers' car for a moment. Setting up for this event, he's telling me that he's planning on getting 200 to 300 pounds out of the car before the event.
Jeez. Nuh-uh. How are they going to do that?
He says he can do it. So,
good. Why isn't he doing it already?
Because he's in street mod.
Oh, yeah, you got to have some things.
Street mod alone.
Yeah, you got to have some things in street mod, don't you?
But for this competition, there's no street 200 treadwear.
Well, what we've seen this year with street mod, I think, is interesting, and I'm actually excited about it. There are people who take race cars and go backwards in terms of legality in order to
make it
legal. Because they want
the
safety.
They have the race car. Yeah. And it complies everything except for it's got a roll cage and no interior. So they're like, I'm just going to go on eBay and buy interior parts and put it back in.
Sounds like the Forza Motorsports way of downgrading your car from an S class to an A class.
Yeah, we've seen the Rockwells take their Mustangs and they're putting carpet. They're putting all kinds of stuff back in. Eric even posted a video the other day. He made the windows work again. He cut the door beam.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, he cut the top half, not the door beam, the door card or whatever you call it, and made it fit around the NASCAR-style door bar, and the windows work, and all the power stuff works. It's pretty rad, to see cars go backwards, because if they're at that rough power that they need for street mod, and the car is sorted, and it runs well on those tires, put some interior back in, have some competition. It's another thing to do with their car. It's an enduro car.
We didn't talk about him at all. He did something at Summit Point that caught my attention.
Yeah,
he put down a crazy hero lap on Saturday,
right?
And then on Sunday he was running 4 seconds slower. And so I'm getting suspicious.
Like, where are the Hoosiers hidden?
Yeah. So I went and I like peeked around and I was kind of looking at the car or whatever. And he's like, I was like, why were you so much faster yesterday? And he goes, because I wasn't in the lead then. And now I am.
So he was just taking it easy?
Check it out.
Just having fun.
Yeah.
Seat time.
Yeah.
Makes some sense. That track, at some point, Shenandoah is like punishing.
Super cool.
It's super cool, but like if you do it wrong, it is not cool.
Like the Niki Lauda risk and reward thing?
There is walls. That canopy all the way around the track.
Oh, wow.
It makes like the scary parts of Mid-Ohio, it like puts them all around the track. Everywhere.
I didn't feel that way. Maybe it's like I was in Luke's car. Driving.
Viper.
So you got tunnel vision. You're looking at the
this
track.
This year, I've been in the Viper more than I've been in any other car on track. Yeah,
you saying, and I know you've said this on more than one of these. Flat through.
Yeah, flat through like crazy.
Sweeper, yeah. Crazy. You go come out of the toilet bowl right there, the 5-6 combo, and then 7-8-9 into 10A. Like, if you can go flat and 7, we're looking at a track map here down, we're in the barn at Gingerman, but 7-8-9 through 10A, like if you're flat through that, like that car is hooked up.
I was in an 06 Civic, we couldn't do it
Yeah,
flat.
You can't. Yeah. It was crazy.
Well, you probably could, but like...
But we were flooring it, it just would understeer.
Yeah, that's true. It needs a little bit more setup. Yeah.
But I was in his car at Shenandoah, and we go over the jump at like 125.
Yeah. Ooh.
That was the only part of the track that was gnarly in that car. But I took a fit out and just absolutely loved that circuit.
Yeah, it's a really cool track.
Super fun.
I was super bummed my car was still a piece of junk under construction. It's right next to us right now, by the way. It's like
your
ready to go
looks
on the
amazing,
racetrack.
By the way.
Stupid old EF. I've been building this thing for like 5 years. Collecting parts for 5 years, building it for like 3, but
I would like to say, though, of all the sweet stuff that you've done to this, I love the drums still in the rear.
Aluminum HF drums are the lightest combo you can put on an 89 Civic. So, unless I do like aluminum hat, Wilwood, or StopTech setup, it's the lightest setup I can put on there. I do want to do – so I have this other plan, like transitioning to my Civic for a second. I have this plan to like do drum disc brakes again with like a full race rotor and then put an extra caliper with – freaking handbrake. Like, once in a while, like if that car is pushing, you go in wrong, it'd be nice to just go work,
try to get some more silly goose awards.
Yeah, just be just freaking Vern Griffin Jr. that thing for
hey
a
wait, do we have silly goose tags in the pit cart?
Yeah, all the stuff's in the pit cart.
I think Brad should get one.
We probably should get Brad from Tyra.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we have patches now for Grid Life that say silly goose. And yeah, I need to get you one of those tomorrow when you come
mine.
Back. So what? How many weekends a year do you do autocrossy thingers?
Well, it used to be more. I would say autocross now is taking up less of my time. It used to be over 30 weeks in a year.
No way.
Yep, for being in the Middle East.
30 weekends a year?
Yeah.
That's all the weekends.
I
you can't have a relationship or a kid or life.
Well, surprisingly, I was in a relationship then.
Was.
Yeah.
Was.
They came to the autocross, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually,
well, that helps.
They came
that
to the
autocross
too.
Makes it twice as expensive, but if they're driving. But.
Now I do a lot less. I do a few small like local events. I'll travel to in Chicago region or back to my old home region, Northwestern Ohio.
Okay.
For the most part, I just do national events.
Okay.
Yeah, the Toledo group's pretty strong, right?
Toledo group's very strong.
Cincy's pretty strong too.
Yep. How far do you travel for like national tour events?
Oh, on a good weekend, 8 hours I can
drive pretty far.
To.
How many are there like in an 8 hour radius?
There used to be more. We used to have like Wilmington in Ohio.
Wilmington was so nice. Was,
they lost that site, right?
They lost that site. Toledo Airport this year has been a big issue with Chrysler taking up all them. Where all the cars are not selling. So we of essentially lost that, but didn't lose. It's one of those in between things. Detroit region, I'm going to a Skoda. Which is a nice hike.
That's a really long way. Two-day event, though?
It is a two-day event.
So when I lived in Midland, that was the event people talked about.
Yeah, it's a pro solo, so you start side-by-side with a drag tree.
That's like a mirrored track?
Yeah, track, and they combine your times for both. And so I'm still doing that with a Z06 this year of a coworker of mine, Devin at Tire Rack.
What's Devin's real name?
Actually, it's Devin. I hate him.
What?
He's one of the guys with
the
real name?
He's one of the guys with the real name
That's
there.
That's cool.
There's too many Ryans, okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that'll happen.
As I tell Devin, no one wants to be Devin, so that's fine.
We know a few Devins. And some days, building time attack cars, they don't want to be Devins either. building time at Dead Cars is hard, but
yeah.
How long have you worked at Tire Rack?
So worked at Tire Rack just a little over a year now.
Yeah. What got you to that job? Like, what else have you done in the industry?
Honestly, a friend got me there. He already worked there and asked me to come work. Said it was a good place to work. He grew up in Dowagiac in the side of the state. I'm from the complete opposite side, the east side of Michigan.
Right.
So I was a little hesitant.
So you moved for this job?
Yeah, I moved for this job.
Okay.
Where do you live now?
I live in Niles, Michigan, which is one exit from South Bend.
Got it.
Yeah, right across.
I wanted to say I'm
Ashley
still in Michigan.
Ashley was born in Niles.
Really?
Really?
Really.
Okay. I've been there a few times.
It's a small little town, you know. I like it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's small. but other than that, before this, you know, just autocrossing. I was a motor team mechanic in the Marines.
Okay.
I've spent a decent amount of time just around cars and
stuff.
So
you sort of came into that job through the hobby, huh?
Yeah, through That's the hobby. Cool. Essentially, it made sense to me. I spend my spare times autocrosses, now more track events like this, like Honda Meet, Grid Life, and then hopefully next year I'll be doing Champ Car with some people at work.
Cool.
So,
oh, that sounds super
what
fun.
What is the tons of our listeners probably buy tires from Tire Rack. What is the, like, culture of working there? Is it, like, a rad place to work where you talk about race cars with customers all the time?
I mean,
Assume you talk about, like, Camry tires a lot.
Of course, you'll get more BMW, Camry, Mercedes, Lexus-type owners more than anything else.
Yep.
But every once in a while, you get that one guy, and
it's
you,
like,
just sit
hey,
there.
Hey, can you get this to fit on this? Because I really need this
so,
setup.
So that is my one beef with Tire Rack.
Oh, God, here we go.
Because I'm like, no, I don't want the tires that fit on an 89 to 91 Civic. Like, so how does that work when you call Tire Rack? Because I want, like, Miata fitment on my car.
So we have...
He's getting all flustered.
We have what we call, you know, our recommended sizing.
Right. Well, you know what fits stock cars.
Yeah, what fits stock cars within, like, a 3% of the overall diameter with the factory. We have very pretty much strict stuff like that.
Right.
Just like you'll see on our website, you can't go search to buy wheels on a vehicle year, make, model.
Yeah.
Because people used to try all these weird setups.
And then they return the car.
They return them. Yeah, and we are very nice when it comes to our returning
policies. And so then you got a bunch of scratched wheels and all kinds of garbage.
So we would be accepting all stuff back. And eventually we had to be like, okay, listen.
Right.
You only can find these wheels by the exact year, make, model. It's costing us too much to get shipped out, et cetera, back and forth. We're always trying to help out with that. So there are strict guidelines of what we would recommend. Now, we all know from track setups what's not recommended.
Right.
So there are, just like autocrossers do, very typically, track use only setups that we'll sell too.
Right.
That we're not going to guarantee fitment. You know, like certain times you can't return certain things.
Right.
That's it. If we special order it and you say, oh, I know it's going to fit. Well, it's yours. You know, there's situations like that.
Just common sense. Like, you don't want people abusing that.
Yeah. I mean, we put an autocross last year in the turbo Camaro I was driving, and it was a stock turbo Camaro going against Type R's and stuff.
So weird to hear stock turbo Camaro.
Right? Anyway.
Four-cylinder?
Four-cylinder.
It's so weird that exists.
We were putting 275 RE71Rs on an 8-inch or 8.5-inch wide wheel.
Right.
That's clearly nowhere near what we'd say our recommended range.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
But that's one of those things autocrossers do all the time. Type R's back in the day used to put 275 Hoosiers on the stock wheels.
On a 6.5-inch rim or whatever.
6.5-inch rim.
Yeah. Yeah, the for years in, like, SCCA improved touring stuff, there were guys putting 225s on 5.5-inch Honda wheels, you know?
Yeah, see?
It's cramming 225 Hoosiers onto it. So we're just like a 245 on 5.5s. 275, 275.
So, Adam, you know how when we were on the show with Hayward earlier this week, I complained that the Mugen sits in GS class, and I didn't think that it was fair. Brad says that it's unfair because new turbo Civics sit also in GS
and they're
way better.
I can confirm this because I have a 19 SI sedan.
Okay.
And it will be running in G Street Autocross next year with 255
That's the
AO52s on
because
them.
Because you get a wider wheel to start with, you can put a massive tire on
it. We got 8-inch wide wheels from factory.
You know how hard it is to find
and
a nice 7.5?
That little 1.5 with the turbo makes great torque.
Really does.
It does.
I have
really
an 01 GSR at home, and I can tell you which one's faster between the two.
We've got dyno sheets from one that ran GLTC at Meadows Festival, and, like, freaking solid power band. Looking at SRO or TC America stuff, like solid power bands, like freaking torque all over the place.
And that's just the little 1.5. You get the 2.0. Ooh.
Yeah, the K20Z or whatever, the Type R motor.
The Type R motor.
Really good motor.
So at least with my car, The build dates on my tires are 2012. Brad, uh-oh. I need some tires.
We're going to need some tires.
And I'm going to probably have a separate set of wheels to do autocross-specific stuff. And then I want to put a 24-millimeter bar in the rear and then just, like, not intend to be nationally competitive, but, like, want to just run GS and not get destroyed.
Yeah, Abe went in an autocross, and he's all stoked on cars again. I love that.
It's fun.
I mean, autocross has the ease of entry, right? Ease of entry. You don't have to worry about flipping usually.
And lack of, it's almost like, even versus track days, it's like lack of commitment to the weekend. Like, it's less prep, it's less money, it's less, it's a lot of things.
You're like, did I prep for autocross today? I got
Does
my
the car still run?
The car runs. I have my air pressure gauge. I think we're ready.
We got a set of tires.
Let me torque the wheels.
I forgot
Where's
the
my
masking
sombrero?
Tape. I felt like such a noob. I had to borrow masking tape from somebody to put on the car.
Oh, yeah, the painter's tape. Some regions will really hate you for that.
But what I was amazed, having run at INR for the first time, that's Northwest Indiana.
Right.
Fast time of the day was like at F-Mod something or other, and it was like a 32-second car.
Right.
They're like 90% of all cars in the field were running faster than 37 seconds.
Really?
It was unbelievably fast. And I'm like, I was at 36 and a half seconds, and I was right in the middle.
Really?
And I was like,
even on those
what
crappy tires you got?
I mean, so I was
sort of
I
impressive.
Was 29th of 55 overall and 29th of 55 in packs. And
on,
I was like,
an ancient.
God damn it.
And that car is bone stock, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you were an ancient, like, not
Dunlop
rad tires.
Sport 01 somethings.
That's pretty good. Pretty good showing.
Sport Max?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
2012 build.
It's
day
a freaking summer Camry tire. You got it.
Yeah.
Well, did you have a good time, though?
I had the most fun.
That's the best.
And that's just it. And it's so simple. Like, show up. You barely need anything to prep.
Yeah.
You know, you do your – how many runs did you get?
We got nine.
Nine. Cool. Oh, so nine runs. Like, so compared to like a national event where three
and
is
we would
the
have
common.
Been done sooner, but we break
three.
For lunch. And I hate breaking for lunch at an autocross, but we did. So,
well, at least
actually,
you can
that
go,
was a very, very lax region.
At least you can go to Hardee's and have some delicious meals. You know,
like, see, like Northwestern Ohio, where I used to be like a chief and
like
officer
Toledo,
there.
Toledo, right?
Yeah, Toledo. Yeah. We'll get 200, 250 people at the airport.
Yeah, that's
local,
too many people.
Normal event. So we're like, they're. Lunch break, not a chance. You know, you get three runs. There's too many people.
Right.
You gotta get
three runs. Absolutely not.
Like so at nationals, you get three runs per course too. By the way, that's how it is.
Right.
So as you come to a local event, you expect to get more runs typically, but with that many people, you just you have.
It's
to
a big local
runs.
Event.
You have to make it work.
It's crazy.
So three runs, as much as some people don't like that, is, hey, this is your practice for nationals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
also transition to the year that you've had. I think that autocross preps people very well to do one lap of America, which you also did this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I very much agree.
What did you run it in?
So this year in one lap of America, I was a part of Team One Lap, One LE. It was a 2017 SS Camaro One LE with a 2.9 Whipple blower added to it and a... Got another amount of goodies, Christopher Vanderwalk, which actually bought my old ESP Camaro off of me is how I met him.
Yeah, he's on the forum that shall not be named.
Chris V.
Are you on the forum?
Yeah.
What's your name?
It's Boss 002.
I'm on the forum, remember. Too.
I've been on there for years, and I have a small post number.
Okay. I got too many posts. I don't
post
much
anymore,
but I got too many posts.
But I met him because he bought my old 99 Camaro, which I did Ultimate Search Bar thing.
Yeah.
I won the autocross there, beating Danny Pop and Ken Twaits, the last few multi-time winners.
I bet they love that.
Oh, yeah. They had Lingenfelder sponsored Camaros and all this
That's
stuff.
That's pretty
and I
impressive
beat them in
work.
My $10,000 Camaro.
That's pretty impressive work.
So they were a little surprised. So I got on two episodes of TV with them for that and stuff. But I met him that way. He ended up asking, like, after my incident, surprisingly, he asked me to let me drive that car with him. I was like,
Everybody
are you sure?
Just blame the Fiesta. It's a Fiesta problem. It's just what happens. They all do that.
91
like
octane,
a used car salesman.
Conservative, 630-wheel horse, no big deal. Good aero on the back, MCS doubles. He got rid of the mag ride setup. He was running... We were running 305s in front, 325, Michelin Pilot Sport 4S's on it.
That's a lot of meat.
Because we were preparing for
it
rain.
It did rain.
We were preparing for rain. Yeah. So
otherwise, that's a good rain tire?
Yes, it is a good rain tire.
Is it better than the Continental?
My personal opinion is if there's definitely big puddles and stuff, go with the Continental.
Got it.
If there's intermediate, it's drying, you're going to be faster than the Michelin.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
That's how much of the strategy of one lap comes down to, like, the week before, like, what tires did you buy?
We had people I know through autocross community who did one lap. A lot of new autocrossers did one lap for the first time this year. Thanks to Andy Hollis getting more people out there stuff.
He's been quite an ambassador for the program.
Huge ambassador for it. Last week, we had people going, okay, am I going to go with RS and ONRs, or am I going to go with Michelin Powersport 4S?
Right.
4S. Almost
4S is easy button every one lap.
Almost certainly.
Right.
The driver will not be able to outdrive the 4S on a track they don't know.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, yeah, I would agree with that. Because
that's probably true.
I mean,
and it wears a lot better, too. Wears a lot better than the RC.
Absolutely.
It wears great. It's more comfortable for those legs that you actually have to deal with. We didn't have a bad comfort part. The car, we were joking, was Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation. When you do a track setup, it opens up the exhaust, which had a stock muffler, but it had to be the loudest car of the entire event.
Right.
Nice.
Then you put it to quiet mode and commute.
Nice.
And
really?
Didn't even
it's
know.
Got flaps and all the valves and everything.
We would hear the squeaks off of like a phone holder. We were like,
really?
What is that? Oh, something squeaking because we can't hear the exhaust.
In like a
over
700 crank horsepower Camaro that you're driving on a race setup.
We're complaining about some little squeak from like the radar detector
so much
and stuff.
Better now.
It's crazy. An SS1 LE in stock form
that's
is
wild.
Fantastic.
That is
it's
wild.
Quickly, easy modified. ZL11 LEs, that's what we were battling all week.
Yeah.
You 650, 650 stock. We were battling that.
My buddy James Hodges.
Yeah, he ran this year.
Yes.
He co-drove with me in 16. And what sucks is I got him into one lap, and he's now done it 3 times, and I have done it 1 time. It's a damn shame. But it's one of my favorite events of the year, but I really struggle with finding the vacation time in addition to running all the events that we run to do that kind of event.
Yeah, that's like an 8-day commitment, 9-day commitment.
Yeah.
You're out of work for a week plus.
But now I have a reliable car that we wouldn't contest.
And you sort of live close to South Bend, too, which helps. You're not driving from Texas like a lot of these people.
Yeah.
But, one of these days we'll probably do it again. I want to do it in a slow car.
I'd like to do it in a K-Fit. I
That'd
think that
so
would be super fun.
K-Fit, nice.
There's like 5 K-Swap fits here this week. There's so many.
Well, I know of Claptrack, of course.
That's
like,
here.
Actually, I was up on track with him earlier. So,
yeah. You know, he did say that I could drive that this weekend.
It's a really fun car.
I've never driven it.
It's pretty
you
fun.
Should do it.
I drove it at Daytona. It was rad. It was really fun.
Speaking of which, you got Mr. Yonkers kind of hooked on a wheel to wheel.
Oh, I did?
He's doing that this weekend. He's renting in on our team to do a wheel to wheel. He
I didn't
says
know that.
How he's so eager
Champ
to keep
car?
Doing it. Yeah.
Where's he racing?
I think he's going to Brainerd, right?
I think it was Brainerd. Because
he
yeah.
was flying
yeah.
to Minneapolis. I
That's
saw
rad.
That.
It was Brainerd. So he's.
Is he running with Drews?
I don't know.
Okay.
So he's definitely got a little bit of a bug starting
yeah,
next to
you
guys. Yeah,
he did really well. He did really, really well.
Which I can't blame him.
It was at the GridLife Super Team, which is the season champions for last year. he did really well. He like took right to it. He got out of the car and he was like, "That was the best thing I've ever done in my life." Wheel to wheel's fun. It's really fun. I forgot how much I loved it until Midwest Festival, and I'm in the slowest car out there, like battling a Camaro. It was the greatest time I've ever had on track in wheel to wheel. It was better. Like I was in the back, partying with like newbies that were in our comp school that weekend, having the best time. Like I don't even care how fast I go. There's somebody to battle out there. It was the best. I forgot how much I loved it. But
that's why we have a team of like my little cubicle area at work of Tyrek. One guy has a 180,000 mile 06 EX Civic.
Nice.
We just got a cage put in it. We were testing it here on
an
Tuesday.
06?
Yeah. It's the newest car that's going to be in a Champ Car event here at the Champ Car event here at Gingerman, actually, later this year.
Is that the same body style as your car?
No.
That's the one before. Okay.
The one before.
Seventh gen?
Yeah, I'm trying to picture, like, which one is that? Because they had a bunch of generations that I didn't think about. So
I don't think anyone thought about the seventh gen, because I had an 04 EX, so it would have been basically the same.
Yeah, it's the same car my wife has.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to 03.
Yep.
It just got the different facelift front end, I think.
Right.
06, yeah.
So we're definitely going to have one of the slowest cars.
That's
the same
a
time.
Slow car.
It's going to be great. Oh, yeah, around here?
Yeah. Like 152s?
153 was our best so
okay,
far.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, you'll get there. You'll get there. I got confidence. That's like a solid axle rear.
Yeah.
Like strut front end.
It still has the full exhaust. It's still completely stocked with no single bolt on
at
all.
1.7.
Is
it a manual?
It's a manual.
My wife's auto
is a manual. It's just one of those cars like, okay, lift to turn in,
right back to Watt, hold it.
There's something about that car that's like, it's built robust, though, and like they were really good appliances. Like, that's a tough little car.
We ran it novice, intermediate, and advanced every single session for 3 hours straight, just doing driver changes on Tuesday, and it had zero issues. Just
that's awesome.
Run that trap, man. That's the best. So that's how our old Lemons car was. It had 88 horsepower, 88 wheel. It weighed 1,730 pounds empty. With no driver, I mean, with fuel in it. And like, it didn't kill consumables. Like, it didn't hurt any. Like, we had to put oil in it every 7 hours. We put half a quart in every 7 hours, and it never changed. And, like, we just ran it. And we did one HPDE. It was ITR Expo 12, maybe, at Mid-Ohio. Me, my brother Jeremy, and Chris, like, we sessioned it every session except for beginner. And it was on track for, like, the entire event. All we did was change tires. That was, like, prep for the Lemons race. And we're like, wow, this thing is so bulletproof. And it was, like, so slow and so fun. And there's something to be said for, like, stupid, fun, slow cars. Like, everybody wants to have all the power. You don't need to have all the power, man. Slow cars are the best.
I think having driven a car with power and slow cars, the fun thing about slow cars is you don't – you're entering a corner thinking about how fast you can possibly go instead of how much you need to slow down.
It's a different driving experience. You're not fighting the car. You're, like, fighting yourself.
Yeah.
And like,
how fast can I go through turn one and still maintain control?
Yep.
Yeah, then it turns into how little brake can I use, and nope, there's a grass.
Yeah. It and then you roll over your Fiesta.
Oh, wait, what? Full circle.
So you're planning on champ car racing that?
So, yep. I'm missing the Gingerman race this year, which I was supposed to be going to, because I will be doing the King of the Mountain with
Where's Brad. That King of the Mountain event at?
It's at UMI's track in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So cool. UMI Performance bought a track, I think, last year.
Like a kart track kind of thing, or what?
Like an oval that has a little bit of an infield and some other things.
That kinda sounds
they
fun.
Purchased that. And they've been doing a lot of paving, and they're really getting a lot of people involved. They plan on doing a full, like, spectator type thing under the lights at night, announcing and all of it. It's going to be very different.
Yeah, Abe talked about it a couple weeks ago on the podcast, or maybe in person, I don't remember, but it was I'd never heard about it.
So,
and now it's like popping up in my social media feed. So.
Tell us a little bit about the rules. Is it one class, just like 200 treadwear, do whatever, or?
I mean, from what I've seen, is as long as you have 200 treadwear plus street tires, there's no holds barred. Like, anything you can do.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Like,
but street car based?
It's got to be street car based, but they're still like. I think that's a little lax, too.
Okay.
As long as it's legal for the street, I think that's it.
Cool.
Like, I've heard some crazy stuff coming. I know there's, like, an RX-8 with a 2.5 swap with a turbo in it.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yep.
I think that's John Vitamas, right?
Vinavos, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard everything. That thing is wild, man.
Yeah. So he, like,
that's a street
I heard
car
that he was going, like, oh, jeez.
He's a national, he was a national champion a couple years ago?
Yep. He had a DSP BMW he's done some work in. You got an 8-9-time national champion Sam Strano and a new Grand Sport showing
Sheesh.
Up.
He's like the guy who tells everybody how to be fast, too.
Yeah.
Sells them all the fast parts. And
he always helps set up cars. Yeah. You know, he's got all of it. So
that's a freaking
ringer. He's going to be hard
right
to beat.
There,
You know, obviously Danny Pop's coming.
Yeah.
Ken Twaits also.
That sounds so cool.
It's going to be all the big fast names you've pretty much heard in autocross are going to be there. Yeah.
Cool. Well, how do people get a hold of you at Tire Rack when they want to buy tires from you?
If anyone needs to contact me at work, simply you can email me, brad@tirerack.com.
That's
of
easy
course.
To remember. Tirerack.com.
Or my extension at work is 4398.
4398. Buy some tires from Brad.
Or if you just want to hang out normally, it's Ryan Finch.
Well, I appreciate you talking to us about all the cool things that you have done and some of the not cool things that you've done, like roll cars over.
It's give and take. It's give and take.
Yeah, well, it's a hired hobby. for listeners, if you're looking for track events, we have some stuff coming up. We've got Alpine Horizon, Colorado.
Yep.
We've got Track Day Picnic right the week after at Blackhawk Farms.
Which I definitely think you should come to, Finch, because...
Yeah, plenty of spots available, nice and cheap.
I was just looking at that schedule, and I actually have a national autocross event
really
that weekend.
Or
was I was going. I was planning on going to the picnic.
What did you think of Blackhawk when you were there for one lap?
Blackhawk is very cool. It's a technical, smaller type course.
Old school feel, but really nice track.
It's unique. I loved it. And one of the coolest things was standing over the start finish line as
I love
a car.
That
oh my
place.
God, it's so cool.
I love that place.
Was Jeff literally standing on the track like
Jeff,
normally
the
is?
Old school track lead?
Yeah.
He just stands right next to the rail. Yeah. And then right after that, we've got Atlanta.
Yep.
Spectator tickets available. Lots of them. Wild lineup in music. And the music lineup for Colorado is pretty rad, too. If you're into EDM, it's really good. And then after that is what? 2 weeks later is Road America?
Yeah.
Tickets on sale for Road America. Lots of tickets available. They've been on sale for a while. We haven't talked about it in social feeds or here or anything. Lots of spots available for Road America. So come
Road
drive
America at that time of year is going to be
It's
going to
be
awesome.
Like the best weather ever, probably.
Yeah,
well, probably. Knowing us, we'll have a thunderstorm and a tornado and the world will end.
And then there's what? Speed Ring?
Speed Ring sold out.
No kidding.
Dude, it sold out first day.
Nice.
So like, yeah. Motovisti Speed Ring. I think everything but Unlimited sold out. Or it's, I think maybe there's two spots left in Track Mod, maybe. I don't remember. But yeah, Speed Ring, it's got some heavy hitters coming.
And that's like, that event's really settling in.
Speaking,
I'm
yeah.
so super excited about
that. Yeah, the first year we did not like M1. And then we liked it last year. But we are changing things this year. Friday's going to be Time Attack. Saturday is Last Chance Time Attack qualifying for brackets, which are on Sunday. And then most of the day Saturday, we're doing a standing start autocross component. They'll be paddocked in that center skid pad, and they'll enter the track just after our start-finish line. That'll be the go point. So they'll do that whole back section, get onto the big straightaway. There'll be a chicane, and then they'll shut it down right before the big sweeper. So the standing start autocross component on Saturday is going to be super fun, I think. We're calling it the street sprints, I believe.
Okay.
The only rules... are 245 tread wear and under is class
width.
245 width, I mean. 245 tread width and under is the first class, which I believe is class A or 1. Above 245, less than, what, 285? I don't remember.
I think that's right.
I can't remember exactly. It's class 2.
It's not
and
like
then,
we wrote it or anything.
Yeah, I know. And then, like, greater than 285 is the upper class. So it's like mainly looking for autocross street builds, you know, regular street builds. Time Attack cars are welcome if they fit the rules. Open rules other than that. So, but
we kind of, when we were thinking about cars that would be fast, it's like Corvettes are going to be running 305s, 315s.
Yeah, we're looking
whatever.
At tire widths. Like,
and so, like, there's kind of a natural segmentation that happens for like those three classes just based on how much tire a chassis can possibly run safely.
And there's also a lot of money on the line for it, like $1,000 to win and stuff like that. So so if you're in autocross and you're in Detroit or Ohio area, like, check it out. Go to thespeedring.com. But, yeah, a lot of stuff coming up. I'm a little intimidated by our schedule.
It's going to be
a long
really busy
months.
Until late October.
Yes. I'm looking forward to November.
Don't say off season because we don't have one.
No, we are going to have a little bit more off season this year. We need some November and December and January. But
well, that's SEMA, PRI, and then
shut up, Abe. I want to talk about that stuff. That stuff's easy. It's going to be a fun year. But anyway, sorry for the plugs, but I figured I'd start making some plugs so we sell some tickets for Road America. But Road America is going to be a fun event, I think.
For anyone who's gone on any type of game or simulator and done Road America in real life,
yeah.
My first time going there this year, it is not the
same. It's majestic,
it's pretty,
right?
It's
it
wild.
Is like it's
the elevation changes,
it's
the
unreal.
Scenery, the way the track goes up, down, banks. Like, oh,
and it actually has like for a track with big straightaways, like it seems like it's got a lot of flow to it.
It
also.
Does.
It's not like pointy shooty.
After
of thing.
The kink,
yeah.
No one really prepares you like going through that little strip of woods.
It's
at that
so
speed.
Cool, man. Especially
here,
600 horsepower
in,
into
like,
Canada.
We went up there for a site visit last year, and PWC was running, and having the Bentley like W8 race cars come through that spot,
Harry,
unbelievable,
nar. It's so wild.
I went to the Indy race there this year, and it was great.
Yeah,
to
we
watch.
Were there for that. It was the same weekend.
Yeah, that's a cool place, man.
One of my favorite things about that facility is that the entire track is walkable on foot. It's a long walk.
So spectacular.
You can see everything.
You can walk the entire infield and a lot of the outfield too.
Yeah. Good camping areas too.
Yeah, like
there's
the best
a disc
camping.
Golf course too.
Disc golf. Yep.
The best camping of like many many racetracks in the area. It's so much.
I think the track manager participated in one lap. Enrique Ramirez.
Yeah,
yeah,
Enrique,
we met him
yeah.
at our game night in Vegas.
That was the first time I met him. We Chris and I have been on a lot of calls with him for prepping for the event. But yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah,
good dude to work with. So
he worked. He ran our class in one lap and everything. And yeah, he's a good guy.
It's awesome. It's a wild place to drive a Camaro for the first time you've ever been around the track too.
It was wild going into five, not anticipating how much of a elevation change downward in the braking that you're doing.
A little bit different than in like a Datsun 510 on Forza.
Especially when you're doing 155. Yeah.
I think one of my favorite experiences, so I've never actually driven Road America at speed because James drove my car that event. And something that like changed my life and like my experience with cars was standing at the pit wall at start finish and hearing my car go by at 155 miles an hour,
that's very
just
fast
at
place.
Full tilt, because I'm in grid all the time at all of our events, and rarely is where I'm like standing and doing work in a spot where cars are on power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually they're shutting down right here. Same thing at Autobahn. We're like so in the area. They're shutting
down. To hear
the power
a car
down.
Go by at like full song is so captivating.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
The two fastest cars that everyone watched go by had the weirdest sounds this year. The McLaren 720S and the GT2 RS.
Oh, yeah.
They're both doing like a buck 75 past everyone, and they make the most unique turbo
weird
turbo
noises. Supercar G, turbo
supercar
noise, yeah.
noises. And then you got us going by with the blower whining up.
What
first,
happened to the
exhaust.
GT2 RS?
So the GT2 RS, I don't know the full details. I know they had an off, which had a small impact at Brainerd. And they got passed by the ZR1 mid-corner near the drag strip entry, and they drove straight off and left. They never came back.
Really?
That's so that was it. Weird.
They had like, some type of impact, and they left and never came to...
They just left the facility.
That was it.
One of
Didn't
my
stop.
Favorite
Goodbye.
Elements of Weird. That whole event is like the... The press on regardless attitude where like cars break constantly.
Like
and
Robert Thorne.
People will do crazy things even if they're no longer in contention just to finish.
Robert Thorne lost his GTR motor on day
one
technically. Well,
autocross and then he broke the second
technically
day.
Technically day two. Yeah. Day one of actual tracks. The day one autocross or skid pad. So they had like a bent valve, some other few things. Day one. He went and got the Big Bad Wolf S2000, even though he was already technically DQ'd and kept running, improved at multiple tracks, fastest time.
So as soon as he finished the event at South Bend, I texted him, and I was like, will you just once spend the effort and prepare the car for the event?
He did. The thing had a brand new built motor and everything.
No. I'm talking about the Big Bad Wolf. It is the best one lap car
it's really
ever.
Cool. It's
he,
really
but
impressive.
He has never once made it a priority to compete in that car.
Yeah. He said the craziest thing at Brainerd. At the end of the Donnybrook, the big one. Yeah. So at the end of the drag strips straight, there's that banked right hand. He was going flat, maxed out on his final gear, like 160 or 150
probably
something.
9,000 RPM.
Completely redlining it, bouncing it, and just around the corner. No big deal.
That car is so good.
He said it felt like a GT3 car around that corner.
The year before was the year that he had all the problems with the exhaust manifold stuff, and he was welding constantly.
Pulling the entire turbo system apart and re-welding it. Yeah, the rocket anti-lag.
The tank in the car is enough for like 70 miles of range.
They were filling it up this year too.
Same tank.
So just like
same tank.
Put a good fuel cell
the thing
in
is, like,
set it up better.
It wasn't intended to go. His buddy had it in an auto. I talked to him for about 10 minutes on the show when I went to Blackhawk, which I didn't see you there.
I didn't see you either.
You were doing things. I was doing things. I talked to him for about 10, 20 minutes, and like his buddy had it at an autocross that day, and he was like, prep it, throw the Falcons back on it. He's running on last year's Falcons. And he like did. His buddies were like, okay, and they're just like throwing brake pads and tires at the thing, and they like drove back and got it. Like it just took it. Like
I think Chris had Lewis. A super fun time in it also.
He was all smiles at Blackhawk when I saw him. But
I know he didn't see me at Blackhawk.
Why?
We had an issue with our front splitter coming loose, so we had the entire front bumper off half the time.
We were working
we were there.
On the car.
So we were working on the car, and
I was
then
trying
half
to
the
slam
other time
out
was
four podcasts.
Briefly having a moment for one of our friends, obviously, with the incident that morning. We talked to him. So
I never saw Andy and Ann there. I missed them by like 10 feet probably. I was walking away and they were walking back, but
so was it transit from Blackhawk that you had the mechanical that stopped you in Indiana?
Yeah, actually, it was from Blackhawk.
What was that?
We are going from Blackhawk to NCM. We made it out of Chicago, and next, you know, car's getting hot.
Yeah.
So we pull over, and we start looking, and coolant's everywhere, but why? As we're looking, so we thought we found it. It was the factory cooler setup that actually had, we thought it sprung a leak to where it connects down to the bottom, and we thought there was an O-ring we could simply just remove, put in, no big deal.
Right.
Later on, we found out another aftermarket cooler, which, by the way, the 1LEs come with, like, trans, diffs, and
all of the coolers. All the coolers.
But this one had additional ones because of the blower. One of the stainless lines happened to rub to one of the hard metal factory ones, okay. And under pressure.
Finally let go after 1,000 miles or whatever.
So eventually on the side of the road with, like, Bubba, who was here earlier, and a few other people stopped by. We had, like, a small crowd of 6 people that stopped by, and we finished 1 in the morning.
Because you can't tow it.
Can't tow it. One set of tires. Got to drive the vehicle.
It's such a hard event.
So we eventually, as we were getting cold, taking turns in the truck to warm up, you know, because it's May, It was about 35.
There was a cold
night.
Week. Yeah, it was like 35, 40 at night. Yeah.
So, you know, we're taking turns warming up in the truck, and we eventually got it running. We hit the road. I think after the third or fourth time I was woken up from the passenger seat from the rumble strips, I yelled at Chris to pull over so we could take a quick nap.
Yeah.
We took a 45-minute power nap.
He's hitting the drunk bumps.
Yeah, 45-minute power nap. We drove a little bit longer. We switched over. I was kind of, you know, anxious because I was driving all of NCM.
Yeah.
East Course, West Course, and Grand.
Jeez. How did that format work?
So that format.
Or, like, did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it a lot. I'd never been to NCM before, other than for
such
an
a cool place.
I autocrossed there once, and that was it.
Yeah.
I drove 6.5 hours in my Camaro with Hoosiers on a trailer behind it, put them on, ran, went home.
Like, not on the track, but at the facility.
In a parking lot out front.
Right. They got a big parking lot.
Yeah. So we're on our way. I'm wired. I'm playing all this, you know, hype-up music. So, like, we're barely sleeping now. 45 total minutes. Next thing you know, through the hood vent, we got someone waving at us. Oh, sure enough, the blower threw its belt.
Oh, jeez.
We're 1 hour away from
NCM. Separate belt?
Completely separate belt. So somehow in that whole process, we had an idler go out. We don't know how.
Right.
Either way. I looked at him. We don't need it, right? He goes, no. He gets out his X-Acto knife or whatever, just cuts it, and off we go. 5-minute stop on the side of the road.
No power anymore.
So no power anymore.
Now you're breathing through a blower.
Now we're breathing through a blower. When we got there, people knew we were showing up late. We were late.
Right.
We were probably like 30 minutes later than we expected to get there originally. So people were waiting for us. They flagged us down, knew exactly where we backed in. I started changing. People unloaded the car for us. We zip-tied the little bypass and the blower open to try to get as much power as we could through there as an NA throw blower setup.
Yeah.
I jumped in, got on the course, got waved on, did terrible on East Course. I was like 30-something position out of 77 people. I'm like, I don't even know what this course is. I'm just driving blind. We got to West. There was a few cars stacked. I got out the old cell phone, started watching YouTube videos real quick.
Yep.
Got out West, won my class, got 10th overall on a
really?
Course I've never been on ever.
Without the blower.
Without the blower.
That's pretty impressive.
Then we got to have a nice breather, have lunch, break. We went out to the full course, combined them both. I got, once again, won my class, got to 10th overall without the blower on the big course. Got a 2:21 on the pilot
sport. That's a solid time.
So. Yeah.
We're going back, by the way, with the blower fixed, with a flex fuel setup, hopefully 700 to the wheels. I'm better tires.
So
just to test?
To SCCA time trials to try to win max
nice,
two.
Nice.
So
or max one.
For context, 2:21 is pretty fast, and that's probably about as fast as I ever ran. Friends like Curly and McGrew, like 2:07 range. That's so fast.
Streetable cars.
Yeah. And I bet you Luke would be like a 2:05 now that the car actually makes power.
Getting dialed, yeah.
A car is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm just shooting for the teens when I go back.
Yeah, right?
I mean, single. Yeah,
we only need to do what? 3 laps?
Yeah, we only. Yeah. So the whole thing with
you
one
don't get
lap,
to go
too,
all day
is
like Luke does.
You got to go out of the pits, come to a stop at the start finish.
Right.
Okay. Start, standing start, 3 hot laps. That's it.
I think one of the craziest things about the event is more than likely you will go to at least one track you've never been to.
Yeah.
And because of the format, it is possible for you to enter turn one on your hot lap, having never entered that corner at speed before.
It's pretty wild. It's almost like
very true.
It's dangerously very scary as an organizer.
And this is why autocrossers, though, proved like over and over again that adapting quickly to a course and surrounding stuff makes a big difference.
It makes a lot of sense.
The only track I had driven before was Nelson Ledges the week prior to, and that's the only time I've ever driven the Camaro.
No kidding. Yeah.
And I qualified 7th out of everyone at Nelson Ledges.
That's cool. Awesome.
So I was very happy with that.
Started off right. That was the first road course. So, all right, man. Well, we'll go shut this down and we should probably do Hanami things and go to bed soon. So what time is it?
11:30.
Man, it got late fast. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah,
Brad at TireRack.com. Buy some tires.
Buy some tires.
And, yeah. Thanks, dude.
Thanks. Bye.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes and come and find us in the pits at a grid life to say hello. All right.